We come this evening to the question of fasting. The question of fasting. Not a subject which we would normally come to, but it comes in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And this whole question that we find in Matthew chapter 6 of what it is to live in God's presence. By that, you may remember that we mean living our lives to please God, bearing in mind that we know we're in His presence, not thinking of the effect we might have in impressing others in any way. So Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, where the Lord Jesus says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." It's the third of the illustrations that the Lord gives concerning personal righteousness or living in the sight of God. These could be described as illustrations used by the Lord Jesus. Living in the sight of God is a way of saying that we carry out various duties and activities of body and mind because we're Christians, because we've been born again. But we don't do them to impress others. And indeed, the Lord Jesus tells us to be careful not to do some of these things in the presence of others in case they're impressed. Now, we want to be a witness to people, and we want people to know that where we stand as Christians, but we're not trying to get their praise for us personally. Three areas then: doing good to others, or almsgiving. That's the example given in verses 1 to 4. And it's talking about acts of kindness for the benefit of those who need it. But Jesus says, take heed not to engage in such acts of generosity or kindness in the sight of men. And because we're in danger not only of seeking the praise of others, but of patting ourselves on the back, he says, and don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And that's a wonderful little phrase, and a thing just to remind us that we're not to be proud. And then the question of prayer. The area of doing good to others is us and other people. Prayer is us and God, our personal relationship with our Father. That's to be protected. We're to pray to God in our closet, but we saw that that can still be in public. For example, the prayer meeting, as long as we're not trying to impress anyone by our prayers. I noticed when I've been praying with Jonathan, who's coming on Sunday, one of his prayers is, "Lord, shut us in." And by that he means, don't let other people influence the way we think. Shut us in, so that when we pray, we're calling upon the Lord alone. And the pattern given is the Lord's Prayer. Well, then we come to fasting. Fasting, or personal discipline. It's the third example or illustration of how we're to live in the sight of God. The first one concerns us and others. The second concerns us and God. And the third is us and ourselves. And the whole matter of discipline in our spiritual lives. Let's make some general points, certain points. The Lord Jesus, first of all, nowhere commands us to fast. He doesn't instruct us to fast. He observes that the Pharisees and their disciples do fast, but he doesn't say, make sure that you fast. Nevertheless, secondly, he does say, when you fast. This is how passage opens. He says, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. So he is presuming that those who listen to him will from time to time fast. It's in verse 16, it's in verse 17. He expects Christians to fast or engage in some similar act of self-discipline. Put those two together And what do you have? Well, you've got the Lord saying that it's not necessary for us to fast, but if we do, and it's good that we should engage in some form of self-discipline, this is how we should do it. What the Lord says here about fasting is applicable to this whole question of discipline in our lives and allowing, begrudging ourselves certain things or denying ourselves certain things for the purpose of seeking the Lord. Now, thirdly, this is the third example of men and women having their reward already in the praise and recognition they receive from those they seek to impress. You'll find that in verse 2 regarding almsgiving, verse 5 concerning prayer, and verse 16 concerning fasting. It means to take credit for giving, praying, or self-denial. It means don't expect any reward from the Lord your God. You've chosen the praise of men over the pleasing of God. You're not going to get rewarded twice. If you take your reward from the praise of men, don't expect God to reward you. It's the clear teaching of Jesus. Fourthly, the hypocrite's way of fasting here is literal. They did do this. Now, prayer, that was literal. They did on street corners pray. They'd stop and pray as though they wanted to pray. They couldn't wait to get to the synagogue to pray. And they did it in order to be prominent. And then standing up in the synagogue and praying in a very self-assuming way. Well, that was literal. But the giving alms, it wasn't literal, but it might as well have been. They didn't actually take a trumpet and blow it and say, look, I'm going to give some money to this cause. But Jesus is saying that's what they do. They blow a trumpet to tell people. It's metaphorical. It's a metaphorical trumpet. So the fasting accompaniment was indeed literal. They did go around with sad, disfigured faces, looking pale and stretched. I'm going to mention Islam and their fasting, but I couldn't help but comment, I may have mentioned to you before, a particular Indian restaurant that I've been going to in the city up to the time I retired. Really nice people, and it's not too expensive, and the food is good. But there's a chap in there who's very, very cheerful. Always a pleasure to talk to. And just on occasion a year or so ago, I remember going in there and he looked so down and so depressed. And usually it means that they've run out of money and they need to find some somewhere. But no, he was all right for that. He just said, oh, no, it's a very difficult life, Mr. Chandler's. Very difficult life. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, oh, it's Ramadan. And we are fasting, and it is very hard. And I went in a week later, and he was still fasting. It's not how it's meant to be. If that's the Lord Jesus talking about fasting, says no, you don't go and show people how you're suffering. That's not the idea of it. Rather, hide it. So the practice of fasting in the Lord's time, what was it about? Well, we've seen that fasting was not commanded by the Lord, but it wasn't in any way discouraged. The Pharisees fasted because it was an Old Testament practice designed to produce holiness and self-denial. Yet the only fast commanded in the Old Testament was once a year. The law given to Moses and to Israel was that they must fast on the Day of Atonement, which was once a year. That was the only time they were commanded. Now, they did fast on other occasions quite legitimately, when Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. The two men that went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee prayed with himself. And the publican cried out, God have mercy on me, a sinner. But the Pharisee prayed with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And then he went on to say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And nobody ever asked him to fast twice in the week, or even once in the week. Fasting was the Old Testament practice. People did fast at other times, apart from the Day of Atonement, but it was their decision to do so. No one forced them. It wasn't expected of them. Confession of sin was just such an occasion, And Daniel, in chapter 9, in one of the most famous prayers in the Bible, he prays confessing the sins of his people Israel, which brought them into that captivity, and he fasts. It's appropriate that he should do so. Bad news brought about fasting, so did bereavement. The appointment of officers, always occasions when there was felt to be a need for particularly setting yourself apart to seek God's favour, never twice a week. The practice of fasting did continue into the New Testament in the Acts of the Apostles, for example, when Paul and Barnabas were commissioned as the first missionaries sent out by the church at Antioch, it says, and they fasted. They felt it was a good thing to do, to separate themselves and spend time praying. You didn't just go into a corner and sit with nothing on your mind at all. No, fasting was an opportunity to go aside and concentrate on the Lord and pray. Today, well, rarely do we hear of Christians feeling the need to fast. It did become rather popular 40 or 50 years ago when the American evangelical scene began to affect our practices over here. And there were those that wrote books and spoke in meetings who said this is the only way to holiness, you must spend time fasting. Say 2 days a week, fast. It was a step to holiness. Now that's not what fasting is all about. There's a right and wrong practice of fasting. You may be familiar with the practice of fasting which characterizes Islam and Ramadan. It's the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and fasting during that month entails abstinence from food, drink, and sexual relations, including having evil thoughts, from the first light of dawn to the setting of sun. It made me think, well, are you allowed to have evil thoughts at any time? But that's 12 to 16 hours, and then they like to eat, and they catch up, and they eat. It's a religious requirement, and Muslims practice it in order to satisfy their religion, to say that they're keeping their religion, they're being good Muslims. Roman Catholicism has fasting as a part of seeking justification with God, getting right with God. You fast, and it's something God takes notice of, and he'll count it and give you house points for fasting. And it's partly why evangelicals take an entirely different attitude and avoid fasting altogether. It's because of the Roman Catholic insistence on it. So these are the wrong reasons. Obviously, fasting has nothing to do with weight watching. That's not a good reason for it. Diet control. Like the Christian who said, well, I think fasting's a great idea, we should all do it and go back to it, because it would also help reducing my weight. And I was asked the other day to fast because I had a blood test the next day. It's nothing to do with anything like that. And it's not a shortcut to holiness. There are books that would tell you that it is, Christian books. And if you listen to those awful programs on the God Channel and things on the radio and television, especially Americans, they'll tell you that fasting, set yourself aside, it's a way to become holy. That's not the intention of it. Certain holiness teachers have urged fasting as a sure way of getting holy and of inducing revival. They say if we pray all night and fast, well, revival is bound to come. But that's almost blackmailing God. Holiness teachers of 40, 50 years ago used to say, oh, you know, my Christian life used to be so restricted and miserable. I was never truly happy. I'd been to the usual conventions. I'd read all the prescribed books. I never seemed to get the blessing. Then I came across a pamphlet which emphasized the importance of fasting. So I fasted and, oh, I received such a blessing. Do this and you'll get the blessing. But that's not only wrong, it's an insult to the sovereignty of God. We don't fast in order to achieve something. No, the purpose of fasting is to find the Lord ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to him. The same goes for tithing. If you tithe, prosperity will follow. There are those teaching today that if you tithe, you'll become very rich. The more you give, the more the Lord will give you back. And they come up with the most absurd statistics, which isn't the purpose of tithing at all. And it's certainly not the purpose of fasting. It's old as the hills, this teaching, but it's new to this generation, apparently. But any form of fasting must be abstinence from food or anything else for spiritual reasons. It's between us and God, those reasons. Not to be seen of men. It's so that we might separate ourselves and seek the Lord and lay aside other comforts in order to find the Lord. That's the reason for self-denial, and fasting is one of those reasons. So fasting as it should be. I would say it would suit me, that is the me that wants my Christian life to be as comfortable as possible, if the Lord said it's unnecessary and unhelpful. But we have to face it, he doesn't say that. When the Pharisees objected to the fact that even though they themselves fasted, the Lord's disciples didn't, Jesus said, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast." That's in Matthew chapter 9. The disciples were not required to fast while they were with the bridegroom. It was a happy band that went about preaching the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the bridegroom, that's Christ, would not always be with them. And he does say, when the bridegroom is taken away, my disciples will fast. And they certainly did. In New Testament days, we find fasting was practiced in the New Testament when urgent needs came along or special times occurred. And the Lord says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. The all-important living in the sight of God principle is, don't show your fasting off to others. Now that applies to all forms of self-denial. We're not to show it off and say, well, I've denied myself this comfort because that'll make me a holy person. But in our history, the true saints of God have believed in fasting and they've practiced it. The reformers did. Wesley and Whitfield in the 18th century did. It's abstinence from food, particularly for spiritual purposes. Physical body states and conditions do have a bearing on the activity of our minds and spirits. As a Christian, eating and drinking is an area where moderation is a very good thing. And that's for all of us. Not to overeat, certainly not to overdrink. That's discipline, it's not fasting. Fasting is something unusual or exceptional. Something a Christian may engage in for a special purpose. It could be in order to concentrate on prayer. If you feel in your life, well, it's like my prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. I'm going through a time when I don't seem to find the Lord. Maybe fasting will help to get up in the morning, perhaps have a glass of water, but then spend the rest of the day, oh, if only you had the rest of the day, but to spend the rest of the day without eating, but in prayer, reading the Bible or good books, seeking the Lord urgently because you're very concerned. Nobody's going to force that on you, but it might be something that you consider because you want to get closer to the Lord. It's not only food. There could be practices or pastimes which are quite legitimate. Perhaps some sport that we're engaged in or some pastime that we which are innocent and good for us, but we set aside that in order to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Christ, as the Word of God says. Could be we have a hobby or a pastime, and we set apart time and devotion for Christ. We fast and leave off that particular pursuit for a week or two, maybe. Fasting should never be considered as something we do for Lent or one day a week to discipline ourselves. Fasting is not a shortcut to blessing. But it is a good thing. But the teaching we have here is, as you can see, it's not saying you should fast or you shouldn't fast. What it's saying is that here is a man who claims to be a Christian and he gives alms. Well, this man should make sure nobody sees him giving alms. Keep it quiet between you and the Lord. Otherwise, you're gaining, even if you don't intend to, gaining a reward from other people. So don't sound the trumpet like they do. I say unto you, they have their reward, and don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's all about being sure that living our Christian life is between me and my God. And everything I do, and my prayers, and my devotion, and everything I do in my service is for the Lord, and it's not to impress anybody else. Prayer, well, it was different for the Pharisees because everybody praised them like mad. If they saw them praying on street corners, and as we said a couple of weeks ago, people would say, well, we were completely mad if they saw us praying on street corners. It wouldn't have the same effect. But in front of other Christians, it's possible for us to pray in such a way that we want to impress people. Well, we must avoid that. But we must still pray, but enter into a closet. Make sure when you close your eyes, you're closing out everything else, actually talking to the Lord. And with fasting, whatever it might be, don't show it off. Don't show anybody you're fasting. And give yourself to whatever discipline it can be. But you see the whole point. The whole point is that we want to dedicate our lives to the Lord. Never has there been a greater time in the history of the church in this country when Christians needed more to separate ourselves unto the Lord and say, Lord, this is not a time for messing around, pretending, being half a Christian. I've got to be sincere. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. It's a great thing to remember. So the main reason fasting is dealt with by the Lord Jesus is to further instruct us in this matter of living in the sight of God. Whatever form our fasting may take, it's like giving, it's like prayer, it's for the Lord, to be seen by him. How sincere am I in my desire to be a Christian and to live out this Christian life? It says, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, that's my prayer. That's my prayer for you and for everybody at this moment that is considering the Christian life, that the Lord might work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. No one should know you're fasting. Discipline yourself, deny yourself, only the Lord. It doesn't mean bouncing around with unnatural exuberance, an outward expression of joy. That's not the equivalent of washing our face and anointing our head. It's just living unto the Lord. And if we don't know how to do that, we come to him and say, Lord, teach me, show me how to live my life for thy glory. Our Saviour loved us. He denied himself. In fact, he gave himself for us. Let's give ourselves wholeheartedly to him. Well, we have a couple more studies in Matthew chapter 6, and we might take a very short break before going on to chapter 7. But for now, let's turn to